welcome. Well, hello there. Welcome to another episode of Getting Social with Miriam. It is absolutely great to have you. Now, we've had one intense time lately, you know, between, you know, the suicide of Robin Williams and just so many other things going on. All of our energies have been so intense and so all over the place. And today I have a guest, a remarkable guest, who's had a very intense and interesting background. And we're going to talk about that, and we're going to talk about what he wants to share with everybody and what he is doing. His name is Lev Schmidt, and he is a master at empowering men and women to achieve their highest potential and live their dreams by inspiring them to take action. In his, quote-unquote, dark night of the soul, Lev discovered his one obsession, to learn the mysteries of the universe, the study of human potential, and how to use the laws that make the universe function to live in our dream life. Lev followed his dad's path into auto repair when he started as a helper in a large auto body shop in Philadelphia at the age of 17. He quickly transitioned into head mechanic and went on to serve as a mechanic in Ford and Chevrolet dealerships until he launched Schmidt Auto Repairs at the age of 25, and Lev sold his business after 8 years to pursue other ventures. When one of these ventures turned into a personal disaster and Lev hit rock bottom, he made a commitment to a life of excellence and to make a contribution to this ever-evolving world. For 26 years, Lev served as a body shop manager and business builder in automotive dealerships and earned respect as one of the top experts in the industry. He retired at the end of 2011 to serve as an auto repair expert consultant and to bring his larger vision into the world through the company he founded in 2003 called Sage Script Media. Lev is the author of 3 books, and he's a host of a teleseminar series, a life coach, business consultant, and inspiring speaker. And it's my pleasure right now to welcome Lev. Hi, Lev. How are you doing?
Hi, Miriam. I'm doing great. Thank you for having me.
Oh, I am so, you know, I'm really, really happy to have you as a guest. Now, you definitely, I'm going to ask a couple questions, but I'm going to point out, you know, just based on reading that alone, you've had an interesting life. And if you don't mind, can you give us a bit of a background of where you came from and how you came to, you know, write books and coach people?
Sure. I sometimes say that I could be the poster boy for how badly you can screw up, learn from it, and get over it, and, you know, go out and live a, you know, your best life. And I think that's kind of my mission, what my life is about, really. I grew up in a very loving family in a faith healing church in Philadelphia, and it was very restrictive, and they taught us to be in the world, not of the world. And I went to school across the river in Camden, New Jersey, to our little private church school so that we wouldn't be corrupted by the outside world, so to speak. Mm-hmm. But it was a magical, happy childhood. I had wonderful, loving parents and brothers, and it was just wonderful. And my dreams and aspirations were simple back then. I just wanted to be able to hunt and fish, and I got into the auto repair business, like you mentioned, because that's what my dad did, and I wanted to prove something to him. And I got married when I was 18 to a church girl, and, you know, life was very simple. But it becomes complicated at some point, and I had a lot of adventurous spirit, a lot of ambition, and there was a conflict that developed between what my spirit wanted to do and what the church was restricting me to do.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
to make a long story short, I had a breakdown when I was 23 years old. And at that point, I let go of the church and all the programming and conditioning that had put on me, and just fell into a deep sleep, woke up the next morning, And I didn't just go out and get crazy, but I decided that money was the answer. And that was kind of the solution. And my first wife and I, she was very attached to the church, and I was had let the church go. So that was the beginning of our kind of going separately. And so I started the business at 25. And 5 years later, I had a pretty good business, about 12 employees, but I had all my family worked for me. But I had big headaches. My dream had become my nightmare, you could say.
Oh.
And I'm just thinking, oh, what do I want to do now? And one of my customers approached me with a proposition to make a lot of money fast. And he laid it out for me. And I called the offer too good to refuse. And in that conversation, it came out that it was illegal. I didn't know anything about it at that time, or, you know, very, very, very little. But soon I became a major methamphetamine manufacturer. I was the chemist working in these clandestine laboratories.
Oh, wow.
And, it was pretty crazy, you know, just, you know, where that got to. But we made a lot of money, and we were investing it in legitimate businesses, and I bought a farm and, you know, sold my business. But eventually, one of my guys who worked for me got caught, and that led to me being indicted and landing in prisons and jails. And that was quite an experience in itself. But while I was in there, I met some people, got involved with some mafia characters. It just got I got so far down, Miriam, that it was just miraculous. That but one night in a county jail in Philadelphia, I had this revelation where it really hit me what my actions and decisions were doing to my seven daughters. And I mean, for the first time, I really opened up, and I, you know, I realized, you know, as best I could, what, you know, this wasn't about me; it was about my daughters. And that's when I made a decision to become my personal best, to be a role model for my daughters, and to make a contribution to this world in whatever way that I could.
Wow, that's quite a story.
So
that's
I came out with the shirt on my back, you know, no money, no car, no credibility, you know, and started over, and I took a job as a helper in a Nissan dealership, and 6 months later, I was managing that that business, and that's what I did for the next 26 years. I found my niche in managing dealership repair departments.
Okay, I see. Well, that's actually quite a story. That's certainly, you've certainly experienced so much. Now, I want to bring something up here. You make a bold statement in the title, How to Live Your Most Amazing Life, Transition from Struggle to Freedom. Now, how is that possible, and what do you base that on?
Well, first of all, we've all been programmed and conditioned to be average, to play it safe, to, you know, to live small. And the truth is we have enormous potential, and we're just a decision away from having an amazing life. So what I did, Miriam, is during those years when I was in the prison system, as you mentioned, I became very fascinated with the universal laws, how life actually works, and I read and studied you know, that entire time. And when I got out into restarting my life again, I became a real student of personal development, books and going to seminars and taking on mentors and coaches. And I was able to use all that I was studying and learning from and apply that into my job and be very successful. I was like, you know, one of the top managers in my part of the state, because I had taken, and so what I've done is I've taken my life experience which applies to just about everybody, and how we can the points that we can take, the steps that we can take to change our life around, no matter what.
Okay. Well, that's amazing that you had the courage to do that, because a lot of people don't. And that's going to bring me to ask, what is the biggest reason that most people are struggling instead of enjoying any kind of freedom?
Well, I believe it's fear, Miriam, that we're afraid to make a mistake, and we're afraid to get hurt. And that's all part of our programming and conditioning, that we're living in this big, scary world, and we don't want to look bad to our family and our social circle. You know, we want to fit in. And
yep.
Well, I kind of shed that off when I made my decision. I went out and, you know, did what I did. But I paid the price because I didn't do it smart. I didn't work within the universal structure, the universal laws,
where we're
collaborating, we're helping people, we're making this a better world.
Yeah, well, that's the thing too. You know, it is true. You got to break out of your comfort zone. However, at the same time, you need to also make sure you're not doing anything that's overly radical, where you're really, really taking a risk without really thinking it through. So I think that's what a lot of people are afraid of, too. And that's what I'm wondering,
well,
like you said.
Go ahead. I might like to say that there's no you can't go wrong. In other words, you're either going to win or you're going to learn from your action.
Yeah, no, that's right. All right, now, this is the thing. What is the number one step to any kind of breakthrough?
Taking action. That goes back to what we were just talking about. We're playing it safe. We're trying to be careful. We don't want to look bad. We don't want to lose what we have. We're so human nature. We tend to be so wanting to control and to to not lose what we have. We default towards that, protecting what we have and not wanting to lose control. But when we step out, the universe, God rewards action, right action. When you have an intention and you put together some sort of a plan, and not wait until everything's all lined up perfectly
because nothing ever
weather is right.
Huh?
It's never the perfect time, right?
That's
so,
the mistake
really,
a lot of people
it's
make.
So taking action, and if we need to make corrections, which we will as we go along, then that's all part of the deal.
So, I mean, this is the thing, too. I mean, you had so many challenges. I mean, ending up in prison is, I'd say, one of the biggest challenges anyone could ever have lived through. That's certainly. So instead of succumbing to it, like, you just chose to embrace it and come out at the better end. I mean, that's very commendable. And, you have a lot of people who just, I'd say there are more people in this world that would rather just give up. And I know you said fear is the thing, but what is the one thing that people can do if they have any kind of desire at all to come out at the other end, sorry, allergies, shining and wanting to prove to themselves and others that they came out? What is that spark? Like, how could you define that spark, and how could they make it better and go with it instead of going into a hole? Because, a lot of people like that are in limbo, that's for sure. where they're they're fighting between dark and light. So that's basically what I'm trying to ask.
Right. Well, there's a number of things, about seven major points that I discovered that I kind of build my system around that gets us where we want to be. You know, I have a new program, my new book. It's an e-book at this point, How to Live Your Most Amazing Life and to Transition from Struggle to Freedom. And the first thing is, you know, you mentioned that they're dark and light, that each of us has a dark side. And
absolutely.
A lot of times we try to subdue that or ignore it or deny it. And if we can acknowledge that dark side, but what we have the choice to do is to evolve towards our good side, and become what I call our authentic self, you know, and to operate more from our soul perspective than from our ego. We're actually merging the two, but we're focusing more on our soul aspirations, because each of us came into this life with a purpose, everyone.
Yeah. It's just you're not always going to know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because go ahead.
I was going to say, you just aren't going to know what the reason is, and I think that's what drives people nuts. Why? You know, they go through something and they ask why, and they're not going to get the answer.
Yeah, and you need to get really clear on what you really desire, you know, deep in your heart. You know, you keep asking the questions, well, why? Why do I want that? And in my case, the breakthrough for me, the turnaround, was possible because I had my daughters. I had seven reasons, you know, either any one of them was enough of a reason for me to commit myself to be my personal best and to make a contribution. But there was no failing. There was no backing off. You know, there was not even a thought of I'm not going to follow through on this, you know, because you know how it is if you have children. You know, especially as badly as I had disappointed them and wasn't able to, you know, follow through on my promises. So having that reason, that mission, that purpose is a very important element in getting us to have our best life.
Well, certainly, yeah, definitely. However, you know, there's a lot of people, like you said, I mean, this is one thing that you said before that really makes a lot of sense. We all have a dark side, like you said, and very few people absolutely want to acknowledge that. And,
right.
You know, we were all touched by what happened with Robin Williams. We're shocked. I mean, we knew he was struggling. However, I tend to think that now, looking back, he used humor. He used humor to deal with whatever he was fighting, to cover it up. What are your thoughts on that? I mean, what do you think?
Yeah, well, I agree with that, Miriam. And I also think that actors and comedians, there's something that happens when they put themselves into this other personality. There's a big thing about being authentic. Each of us has, each of us is individual. We have our authentic soul pattern, you know, and our personality, our true personality. And for us to become authentic and live authentically is very important. And I think that actors and comedians put themselves into another personality, into becoming a person that's not authentic to them, and they take this on, and I think that that does something to our psyche.
Okay.
So I think that's a part of it.
Well, that actually makes a lot of sense. So I think the more you cover up, the worse it's going to be, and then you end up becoming so desperate that, you know, the unthinkable could happen, kind of thing, right?
Right. Yeah, that's true. Now he was getting help. He was in support groups. I forget what all exactly that he was doing. But I guess he wasn't getting what he needed, or he wasn't ready to make the breakthroughs. You know, and I'm not big on taking medication for you know, to solve our conditions. I think that there's more that we can do around energy healing and meditation, and you know, working with people who, coaches and mentors that can help us.
What if the medication is there to make things level while you deal with all that stuff, though? I mean, what are your thoughts on that? Because I'm not sure some people really need it. Otherwise, whatever you try to do with them, they're not going to accept it. So maybe the medication alone, it's not a cure-all, it's not a fix-all, no, but it's something to keep them leveled while they're dealing with the real inner stuff. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I have a lot of family and friends around me who are on medications for stress and what are all the things that is very common, you know, medications today. I think more people are on them than not. Really, Miriam, I believe that that we can, through getting some good there's some alternative therapies. There's some great work that's being done out there, and also through meditation and going inside and really getting to the root of what's disturbing us, that we can get real healing and not just put a salve over it or numb us through the medications. So I'm not a fan of the medications.
Yeah, no, I'm in agreement with that. It's just I'm thinking that the medication can be of help while you're doing all that, just to keep you leveled, because, you know, when you're in a really depressed state, you're not going to want to know from anything. So that is the only thing.
When we reach a very low point or a very difficult point in our life, that's actually an opportunity for us to make a breakthrough.
Okay. All right, well, that's interesting. So now, do you have any final words for our listeners? Because we're going to wrap up very soon.
Yeah, what I would like everyone listening to us today to know is that no matter what you've done or failed to do, no matter what your present circumstances, that you can be the person you want to be and live the life of your dreams. And that's why I put myself out there, because it was not an easy thing for me to, you know, reveal, you know, all the stuff, the craziness that I put myself and my family through.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wrote my memoir, The Truth, Finding Your Own Truth, and then I developed this program. And anyone that wants to, I think you have a link to my program, because my mission now, I did what I needed to do with my daughters. That carried me a long ways. And now my mission is to help as many people as I can to make breakthroughs in their lives and live their best life.
Well, that's wonderful. And, yes, I'm going to have a link up when I have the blog post up with the recap of this podcast. So now my final question is, if our listeners want to engage your help, how are they going to reach you?
Well, if they can go to just email me at les@lesschmidt.com and just mention that they heard me through Miriam, and I will introduce them to my program, my breakthrough strategy session with Les, and as a bonus, anyone who signs up for that program through hearing through you, Miriam, I will also send them a copy of my memoir, a paperback copy, The Truth, Finding Your Own Truth, and I'll personalize it and autograph it.
Oh, wonderful. Well, thank you so much, Les. This was a great show. This was very, very, very insightful. And I hope that our listeners found it very helpful. I certainly did. So thank you again, and I will be in touch with you soon. And everyone else, you be well, and I will speak to you next week. Bye for now.